I don't know if you saw Joel Embiid score 70. Cat had 60.
70?
Yeah. Joel had 70 today.
58-3.
Yeah, 70.
Yeah. So what did nights like tonight mean in the NBA? I don't know if you saw Joel.
That's right, that's right. Joel Embiid went absolutely berserk last night. 70 points in an NBA game isn't unheard of. 70 points by a big man is definitely rare air. But 70 points on 58% shooting and only 5 of those shots that you made were three-pointers, that's some old-school style of basketball right there. And you know what's crazy? And I'm not trying to start with the rant, but it blows my mind that people have complained and complained and complained about how Joel Embiid isn't playing dominant basketball in the paint with his size. And then he has a game like this, and then the first thing the old folks say is, nobody plays defense anymore. Come on, man. Can we just give the man credit? Can we just give the new NBA players some credit and understand it's just a different style of basketball? They're faster, they're stronger, they're more athletic. The pace of the game changes everything. And I'm not trying to sound like Ben Simmons probably Ben Simmons doesn't sound like that. Colin Cowherd or something like that. Maybe the reverse Colin Cowherd. I'm pretty sure he's a boomer too. But the pace of the play has changed the game. That's just what it is. Accept it. Carl Anthony Towns had 62 points last night. 21 of his made shots, or out of 21 of his made shots, 10 were threes. He shot 15 threes last night. That's the type of game that you think Joel Embiid is playing when he scores 70. But no, that was an old school thrashing. A thrashing. He only took 5 shots outside the paint, and I think he only made 2 threes. He only made 5 shots outside the paint. And of those 5, I think 2 or 3s. The rest were pretty much around like the free throw line. Little baby jumpers, which is perfect for him because he's got the touch to do that. But the fact that people just can't let it go, and we're early. It's Tuesday morning. I'm doing this podcast at 6 in the morning, and I've already heard people complaining. It's 6:20 a.m. on the East Coast, and I've already heard people complaining. It's absolutely ridiculous. I didn't even want to start my show with an NBA game, a regular season NBA game, over the recap of the NFL playoffs. But I just felt compelled to, one, acknowledge that this man is on another level right now. And then, two, just make fun of old people, man. I'm getting old myself, but I'm not like that. Look, just accept it. It's a different style of game. Jeez. Let's see. I guess I should kind of apologize for last week. So Friday, I had to do an hour show here at the station. Anytime I fill in at the station, it's not going to be often, but anytime I do fill in at the station, if it's a podcast day, I kind of can't do both. So I just take the content that I would have used for the podcast and I'll throw it on the station. You guys feel free to call to talk to me if you want to interact, but there will be no podcast during that week. Next week, again, just some housekeeping things. Next week, I will be at the Senior Bowl. Instead of doing a podcast, what I'll do is I'll just post content on the Facebook page. If you don't follow my Facebook page, it is the unofficial platform with IBS Eases. I absolutely hate that Facebook wouldn't let me change that. But I had a little following when I used to do a podcast way back in the day, like 2015, 2016. So I just kept the page. But that is where you will find reels, some practice video. I don't really think I'm going to try to do any kind of like real-time breakdowns. One, I'm going to be surrounded by people that I need to network with. And then two, I don't want to break down a player right in front of them. Somebody's going to fight me because I'm pretty critical. But Michael Penix will be there. Bo Nix will be there. Kind of excited to see them. I think as far as the access goes, that'll probably be the most access I've ever had to two guys who will definitely go first round. I don't think Bo Nix should go first round, but he's probably going first round. Michael Penix is probably going first round too. So that'll be exciting for me. I've never had practice access and on-field access like that. And if anybody's wondering if that's what ESPN got me, no knock on ESPN, but ESPN did not get me that. Ironically, IBN got me that, the little group that basically does nothing for me. But, hey, we had, 6,000 people in the group? They checked our Facebook. They checked our Twitter, et cetera. I did a couple film breakdowns a while ago. They looked at all that stuff, and they were like, yeah, you can get a media pass. It's the only media pass I got with IBN, though. I'm not good enough to get anything else. Everything else ESPN helped me with. So this is a shout-out to the little people. There you go. That's my intro there. Anyway, Joel Embiid, Karl-Anthony Towns, phenomenal games. Karl-Anthony Towns' team actually lost, and I will say that anytime Karl-Anthony Towns is taking 15 threes, they're going to lose. I'm sorry. Maybe this is my makeup call for boomers, but you're right. If your big man is shooting 15 threes, something's wrong. That's not winning basketball in any era. In any era. Even prime Dirk Nowitzki, who could make a lot of those shots, I don't think he was putting up 15 threes a game. And Karl Anthony Towns isn't putting up 15 a game. He's putting up like 5. But the fact that he felt compelled to shoot 15 is crazy. The fact that he made 10 of them is even crazier. But it would explain why he went from 19 points to 62. So I think obviously they got some soul searching to do. Their post game interview with their coach was pretty interesting too. He was kind of critical, but yeah, anyway, two individual great performances. Let's get to our playoff football. Sorry, I was about to say basketball, playoff football. Texas versus Ravens. Again, this is coming at you on a Tuesday. So I'm pretty sure everybody at this point has had their recaps done. So I'm not going to sit here and harp on the same talking points that everybody else did. At our station, we talked about it over and over and over again. I'm on from 7 to 10, so obviously I get 3 hours of a lot of the same content. Nothing against the host. I'm just saying it can wear you out, so I'm not going to do that to you guys. But I will say, 34-10, Baltimore Ravens over the Houston Texans. The Texans were playing with house money all along. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that. I think I've said that several times. You got first-year head coach, first-year starter slash rookie, first-year offensive coordinator slash play caller, and a lot of their talent on that team were guys that had been written off or not expected to do anything, to amount to anything. And, D'Amico brought that talent out. The team played with a lot of energy, and they just ran into a buzzsaw, and so cliche. But the Ravens are a good team. They're a damn good team. I'll be honest with you. They looked the best the entire weekend. They did. They looked poised. I thought they handled the situation perfectly. They did not start out, on fire. It wasn't that they were out of sync, but the Texans, again, they're a good young team, so they're there to compete. And that's what they did starting out. They competed. And rather than freak out like, say, my team did later on and when I get to that, or freak out like the Cowboys did, they just stayed the course. That's all they did, stayed the course. And, one thing that I think people are not harping on or focusing on is, like, how play calling dictates a game. If the Ravens come out doing a whole lot of passing and stuff, they more than likely go 3-and-out, and they give the Texans momentum. They play kind of a clock managing style in the first half. They kind of weathered the storm, rope-a-dope. They took the energy from the young knockout artists early on, and they wore them down. And then in the later rounds, or the second half, they took them in the deep waters, got a couple body shots off, and the whole game just shifted. Because if you look at the box score, which I don't typically do this, but I think it's telling, it was 10-10 at the half. It was 10-10. But it was 34-10 in the final game. So 24-0 in the half. That's adjustments. That's understanding what you're working with. That's filling a team out and also taking their best punch, hanging in there, and then executing your game plan because you know you're the better team. I don't think the Ravens changed up anything. They didn't play any different than I've seen them play all year. I can't say that about the Niners in some cases. I can't say that about the Cowboys, and I keep going back to those two teams because they were two top teams. The Bills didn't change up anything. They're the other two seed. They didn't change up anything. For some reason, people get into the playoffs and they feel compelled as a higher seed to get away from things that they've always done. You've been sitting. If you're a one seed, you've been sitting for a week. Honestly, probably 2 weeks, considering that most one seeds don't usually have to play the last week of the season as far as their starters go. So you've probably been sitting about 2 weeks. Get you some rhythm plays, man. Come out and try to establish a rhythm, but also know that you're going to be starting kind of slow generally. Most teams with a two-week layoff are going to start slow. That was the Ravens. They started a little slow. Wasn't a beautiful game by Lamar, only 152 yards passing, and he rushed for 100 yards. That's what you expect. You find a way to win. Find a way to win. That's what good teams do. It ain't got to be the prettiest, but that's the type of game I'm pretty sure Baltimore would take any day of the week. Any day of the week. Make it competitive in the first half, and they just grind you down in the second half. Boom. Like, hell, that's where Monken came from. That was the Georgia blueprint for what? Like the last two championships that they won? Come out first half, second half just grind you down with the run. So that's what the Ravens did. And shout out to them. Nothing lost on the Texans, man. Great season. You know, typically I would say some of the things that people say after they lose, like, you know, we'll be better next year or we're just getting started is cliche. But I really think that this team is really just getting started. So that's perfectly fine. They'll be back with a talent like CJ Stroud. They'll definitely be back. But this brings me to our next game here.
Damn it, Kyle.
Kyle Shanahan. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I wanted the Rosie Perez. Sometimes when you win, you really lose clip, but it's hard to work the sound bites and talk on the mic. So I just went with something simple. Damn it, Kyle is a very good, good way to sum up how I feel. Cause the guy is brilliant. He really is. He's taken Brock Purdy and he's taken Deebo Samuels and he's made people believe that these are borderline elite performers. And nothing against Deebo, but he's not Jamar Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Puka Nacua. He's not Cooper Kupp before the injuries. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not a lot of things. But what he is really useful and really damn good if you can find a way to get him the ball. He's a playmaker. He's a playmaker. Brock Purdy is a steady quarterback. And I say steady, I just mean he's consistent. He is either going to be really, really good at his peak or more than likely he's going to be good enough to win you games. He's had a few bad games. He's had a few hiccups in his 2 years, but he's more or less been pretty consistent. And that's what you need in that offense. And Kyle has fashioned a system where we can utilize our playmaker, utilize the other playmakers too with their skill sets, and then utilize a quarterback that's willing to throw the ball on time. That's it. That's Brock Purdy's that's his superpower. He throws the ball on time. Because when he doesn't, he looks like Jimmy G. I'm not going to lie. But I digress. This game pissed me off for several reasons. Because I just talked about how I think it's important for play calling to kind of dictate a game. Especially when your team's not at their best. I talk about it a lot with head coaches or signal callers. Like, yo, you got to protect your quarterback from himself. Joe Brady did a great job of doing that for Josh Allen. I think that's part of why they've been successful because they needed to win out, and they did. And then they were competitive against the Bills, and I'll get to that game in a second. But what I'm saying is, like, you have to recognize he doesn't have his A game. How do I get him going? How do I get him going? Because there's so many quarterbacks now that are rhythm guys. rhythm guys. Like, they have to see the ball go in the hoop a couple times before they get comfortable, and then they can knock off these quick passes or these deep passes or make these big plays, and they're just like boom, 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 boom. We didn't get Brock Purdy into a rhythm until the last drive, and thank God it happened. There's a reason why Kyle Shanahan was 0-30, I think, in fourth quarter comebacks or down in the fourth quarter, trailing in the fourth quarter. He was 0-30 with the Niners. 0-30. We've had some talented teams. We've had Super Bowl runs. We haven't won a Super Bowl, but we've had Super Bowl contending teams. And he's 0-30 in the fourth quarter? And I'm not trying to pile on Kyle, because anybody that knows me personally knows that I'm hypercritical of Kyle Shanahan, because I see the stupid shit that he does. And I'll go into the first half. This is the same thing that happened to us in 2019. We're getting the ball and to start the third quarter. That's a great spot to be when you also have the ball last in a half. You want to get any kind of points. Preferably a touchdown is what I would think, especially when the game is 7-6. You want to get a touchdown. But if you get a field goal, you still get the ball in the second half. You still have an opportunity to extend the game and go up two scores. The strategy here is to score, preferably a touchdown, but if not, at least a field goal. So what do? You put your field goal kicker in the best position, the easiest position, to kick a field goal. It's rainy, it's wet, it's slippery, the ball's slick. Your quarterback's having trouble even throwing the ball. People having trouble catching the ball. So why would you even risk having to put your kicker and special teams in a position where they have to be perfect on the snap and everything has to go perfect, and he's got to get this kick 40-plus yards away in what's probably a little bit of wind and the elements? Why? Why would you not try to get within the 20-yard line if you could? This man, Kyle, and I gotta do it again.
Damn it, Kyle.
This man, Kyle, let 35-ish seconds run off the clock. He didn't use any timeouts till about the last 30 seconds. And then he called plays that were more in tune with the idea that I'm going to try to get him in the spot where he likes to kick it rather than get the yards to kick it. Like, what in the world are we doing? I just think it's just inefficient football. It's inefficient football. And excuse me, but the only reason why we win this game is because of the talent. That's the only reason why we win this game, because of the talent. Because I don't understand why we keep depending on Jake Moody to try to kick field goals in any situation where we really need the points, unless it's a chip shot. Unless it's a chip shot. Because I can tell you, he's not the most accurate guy between 40 and 49 yards. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. He's just not the most accurate guy. He's not as bad as my guy from the Packers, thank God, but he's not as dependable as you would like for somebody that went in the third round as a kicker. So again, we settle for the field goal. We don't get the field goal. It gets blocked. All right, I'm mad. I'm not irate, because that's hopefully not going to decide the game. We're still up 7-6. So how important is it to come back out in the second half and establish some kind of drive so you can at least give your defense a chance to soak in the adjustments that you just made at half and give your offense a chance to build up a rhythm and also to attack the younger team? When the Ravens came out in the second half, they attacked the younger team. They made their adjustments. They asserted themselves. When the Niners came out in the second half, there was no attempt to really assert themselves. I'm going to be honest with you. The three plays that they called were trash, absolute trash, almost to the point where I would say if anybody other than Kyle Shanahan did it, I'd probably be on here saying they need to be fired for being that pathetic, because Kyle knows better. But anyway, we come out, we don't assert ourselves, and the Packers get the ball back, and now they have life again because we've given them the opportunity to have life. We've kept them in the game. They don't know how to quit because we haven't shown them that they need to quit. That's exactly what happened with the Cowboys. They let this team come out, jump on them early. They felt like they were still in the game. They got all this confidence. They got a rhythm. And then it got really ugly real quick. The Niners were lucky to win this game. Absolutely lucky to win this game. And part of that is because of stupid.
Damn it, Kyle.
Shanahan. Seriously. Don't even get me started on the end of the game when he did the boundary swing pass to McCaffrey and then looked stupid when he got pushed out of bounds after the two-minute warning. When we want to run the clock, we want to run the clock. The play should have been going to the middle of the field or should have been a handoff because we're in field goal range. We want to run the clock, right? Wrong, because Kyle's such a genius, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, the Niners won. Hopefully that's a wake-up call for them. I mean, I don't even want to think that they came out thinking that this was going to be an easy game. We've always had competitive games against the Packers to an extent. And if you watch this team when they played the Cowboys, I would think you would know that they were going to be competitive. But either way, hopefully we got those hiccups out the way. I don't think we have the luxury of allowing the Dan Campbells to stay in games. You got to put the Lions away. They're a wild card team. Like you don't know what they're going to do. They'll go for it on fourth and five from their 29. They'll actually execute it though. Unlike the Bills, who I'm about to get to here in a second, they'll actually execute it. Lions 31-23. The highlight of this game to me is what my guy Todd Bowles said at the end of the game in his presser, and I'll paint the picture for you. There was an opportunity to stop the clock and make the Lions kick a long field goal and potentially get the ball back with some time left and an opportunity to maybe get down the field and do a Hail Mary or something like that. This is what Todd said.
They already had a field goal and lined up, and it would have been about 12 seconds left on the clock to end the ball game. We weren't going to come back from that. No sense of prolonging the obvious.
No sense of prolonging the obvious. They would have about 12. We would have had about 12 seconds left. There was 36 seconds left on the clock, Todd. 36 seconds left on the clock. This is how stupid some of these teams are, and this is how stupid the NFL is. The NFL has tricked you into thinking that everybody that plays in this league is smarter than you and better than you. They probably are better than you in the sense of, well, I know they're better than you as athletes, but they're not necessarily smarter than you. I'm going to tell you they're not. They're really not. And I'll tell you why. The Lions are taking knees with like 15 seconds left on the clock. On their play clock. They're not even running it all the way down to zero or to one. They're taking knees, leaving time on the clock while the Bucs have one timeout left to the beat of they let themselves leave 36 seconds on the freaking clock with the timeout left. If Todd and them call timeout, they have to settle for the long field goal or punt, but they essentially give the ball back to the Bucs. And this guy's logic is, they were already in field goal range. It wasn't worth it. You know what I mean? I can't even get this out. Think back with me, people. I think there was an extra point in a playoff game. The holder's Tony Romo. And I'm pretty sure because they botched that hold, the Cowboys lost that game. There's been plenty of examples throughout the history of football where it's not a for certain thing. It's not. And you never know. You might have a miracle, man. You might have a Vikings when they came back on the Saints, when they beat the Saints in that playoff game. You might have one of those moments. The Lions are not the best covering team. Let's say they kick the field goal, they miss. You got 36 seconds. You throw a 15 to 20-yard route to Evans or Godwin or something. You get up, you clock it, and now you got a Hail Mary chance with Mike Evans or anybody else on that team. Mike Evans, I would think, would be your first obvious choice because he's tall and he's big and he's not afraid to jump up and catch the ball in traffic. But why would you not give yourself that chance? Why would you just concede? Like, that is so trash to me. That is so trash. Such a trash answer. I can see if they were on, like, their their like 10 yard line, but they're on their 30 and there's 36 seconds left when you call timeout. So even if they miss the field goal, at most 7 seconds is coming off. That's still enough time to get two plays. I'm thinking two plays to get you in what would be Hail Mary range. And then after that, you never know. But that's just such a loser mentality from a head coach. And I know there's been times where I've even said, like, what's the point? The game's over. I don't think I've ever said that in a playoff game because it's still one possession. And I can't believe the Lions were dumb enough to, and I'm not hypercritical of Dan Campbell, but I can't believe they were dumb enough to just take knees early. It's like they knew. Like, yeah, they'll mess it up. They won't care. That's ridiculous. But that particular thing just stood out to me in that Bucks-Lions game. And then we get to my favorite game. We're going to wrap this up here in a second because obviously I got to go on air in like 10 minutes. But we'll get to my favorite thing from this weekend, and that was the Make-A-Wish fake punt. That's what I'm calling it, the Make-A-Wish fake punt. Why is DeMar Hamlin running a fake punt, man? Why are you calling a fake punt from like your 30-yard line in a game where you trail 27-24 to a team that you've never beat in the playoffs? Like, you have a chance. You have a chance. It's a one-possession game. You ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen in that situation? The worst thing that could happen is that you give Patrick Mahomes the ball on a short field. And all everybody keeps focusing on is, well, they fumbled it in the end zone and they actually got the ball back. And so it's really just an extension or it's just a clock killer. It doesn't really hurt them. It does hurt them. It does. Momentum is a real thing, people. It's a real thing. I don't know how much more evidence you need. I don't know why it's a real thing, but it's definitely a real thing. Every time we've seen teams do stupid things, they typically get punished for it. Going for it on your fourth, on that fourth down in your own territory is stupid. We'll call it the Madden rules. And when you play Madden and it's on all Madden, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this, but if you play it on all Madden and you turn the sliders up, when you do stupid things, the game instinctively punishes you for it. If you go for it on fourth down and you call a dumb play, that one time that you need the block to happen never happens. Or that one time that you throw the slant is covered this time. Because what you did is stupid and the game punishes you for that. That's what happened to the Bills Sunday. God applied the Madden rules. This is a dumb play call. And then even dumber is you gave it to DeMar Hamlin. Why? You're going to get punished. You're going to lose 27-24. You'll never get the opportunity to score again. You're going to lose 27-24. Matter of fact, I'll even make it worse for you. I'm going to put you in the same situation you've experienced for the last 30-plus years whenever you get in these AFC championship games or playoff games. And then I'm going to make it go wide right one more time for old time's sake, just for you, for being a dumbass. Give your team a chance to win. The playoffs are a condensed version of the regular season with the idea that when you lose, that's it. Game over. There are no more continues. So you have to play with this balance of urgency and intelligence because you know that, hey, once this is over, this is it. So the risk has to match the reward, or it has to be worth it. It wasn't worth it with 13 minutes left in the game to take that risk. It wasn't. It wasn't worth it. Kick it, punt, get a stop, play defense like you've been playing. Worst case scenario, they go down the field, you hold them to a field goal, you're still at a one possession game either way. But your team doesn't feel like, oh crap, same, here we go again. I said that yesterday on air. Like, I could see it in their face. You can go back and look, too. After that fake punt didn't work, literally, the Buffalo Bills sideline and players just had this, here we go again, look. Even the fans kind of had that with them. Like, they knew. This is how we always lose. This is why we can't beat this team. And they're putting this as Mahomes and Allen is the new Brady and Manning. No, not at all. Because I don't remember Tony Dungy being a dumbass. I don't. I just remember them getting beat because, well, the Patriots probably had film of their practices, and just because, well, they just got beat by a better team. The Bills were the better team this time around. They probably were the better team the year that they let them go down the field because they didn't squib kick it. Like, what are we doing? Stop beating yourself. Stop beating yourself. Sean McDermott and everybody else in the league, when you play these good teams like the Chiefs, as long as Patrick Mahomes lives and breathes, they have a chance to win the game. I don't care who they're playing. They're playing the Ravens this weekend. They have a chance to win because they've got the best damn quarterback in the league. He's that good. He's a game changer. So don't give him any extra opportunities. Don't give the team around him who can't really match his level of play, don't give them confidence to think, well, we've got Patty and we got this extra possession. We can do this. No, man. No. There's so much more mental in the game of football that people give it credit for. And we keep seeing these dumb coaches. I don't think a coach yet has really thought to themselves that this could give the team momentum. This could give this could really change the game. This could make my team, because there's a human element to it, but this could deflate my team if I do this call. If I make this call and it doesn't work, I highly doubt that's one of those calls where it's like, well, the team wanted to do it. No, they didn't. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. And I haven't heard Sean McDermott say that. But just logically, what would be your point of going for that right there? You're going to get the ball back regardless. Even if the Chiefs took the punt into the end zone, you'll still get the ball back. And you'll still have time to come back. But if anything, you know, them driving down the field and having that touchback probably was the most productive negative that you could have, because it took about 6 minutes off the clock. So either way, they did get points. They still killed the clock, and then they made the Bills play with a sense of urgency that they didn't really need to play with, and that changed the scope of the game. It really did. And I think the Bills ended up out of sync, and then again, you were depending on the kicker goes wide right. That's what always happens. That's what we get. That's what we deserve. But, yeah, so that is the podcast for this week. Sorry if it seems a little rushed. I really got to get in here a little bit earlier to do it. And I'll try to get it out for the folks who are driving. But, again, there are some cool things going on. Matter of fact, I forgot to mention this in the beginning, but I do have a sponsor now. Racky's Insurance is sponsoring the podcast for the next month or so. So that's kind of cool. What that means is that I'll be able to spend some money on some ads, get more followers, hopefully grow my platform a little bit more so I can maybe get a couple more sponsors and just keep it going, man. Like, I would like to do more things like the Senior Bowl, but not necessarily under the ESPN banner, which, again, I mean, I'm still working, but it'd be cool to do these things without having to go through work. And that's kind of the whole point of the podcast. At some point, I'll have my own radio show, and then we can all look back on this and be like, oh, that was a fun journey. But until that happens, I'm just going to network and do what I can for myself, by myself. So thank you to Racky's Insurance and my boy Ryan Racky for stepping up and being my first sponsor. And then also keep in mind, again, I'll put out something on Friday. We'll talk about the playoff games. I'll maybe touch on a little bit of college basketball, but we'll do playoff predictions. And then again, next week, next Tuesday, and next Friday, there'll be no podcast, but you'll get plenty of content if you're into the Senior Bowl. So, again, stay tuned, because next week it'll be hands-on content, as well as maybe an interview with Michael Penix, Bo Nix, or whoever we got out there at the Senior Bowl. But I'm excited, looking forward to it, and I hope you guys will follow me on that journey as well. Catch you guys on Friday. Take care.